And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
All right, we get down to the nitty gritty. Final week business. I got Tim Kawakami. I got Anthony Slater. This is Warriors Plus Minus. Fellas, we got a lot to talk about. It's a lot on the table. It's some interesting times now. All these blown games have paid their dividends, so to speak. So now I know there's a microscopic chance they get to six, but they're a playing team. Like, that's pretty much done.
There's
right?
actually 0% chance they get to six because the Kings play the Suns and the Pelicans, which makes
that's right. Both of them
impossible.
Yeah. They would have to go.
I was going to figure that out. I said it does not look like it's possible.
Why did the NBA say that?
Why did the NBA say it's only if Phoenix wins, then it's out. I don't know. Like, they probably haven't even gone through it all the way, but it was microscopic. You could just tell you looked at because they play each other. One team has to lose, so then. Like,
I guess maybe if New Orleans
Sacramento
ended in a tie after seven overtimes or something. Like,
it's really just as simple as you would need two teams to go 0-3 and one team to go 1-2. But for two teams to go 0-3, that other team would have to win twice. So
they're not getting six, and it's seven's really hard too.
They're confirmed play-in team.
Yes,
and. Like, to the point, like, last night, the conversation was about, man, if we could just get to eight. And on the way home, I was thinking, that's a pretty significant shift. it's a reality check, though, but it's like, all right, now it's like, let's just get to eight. But before, it was like, you can still get six. Well,
can you imagine if this was 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, when, like, eight was the cutoff? Like, eight, you're in, nine, you're out. There was no play-in backstop. This week would feel hectic around.
Yeah, it would be chaos. But they are in a pretty good position. Slater, you've got the Professor John Nash of the play-in scenarios. How about you break it down for us?
I mean, look, if they just go 3-0 this week, they are at least the nine, most likely the nine, and they would very likely at this point host the Lakers. But if they lose one game this week, which I think everybody's a little guilty of, like, looking at all of these positive scenarios with the 3-0, what's possible. It's like, you know what else is possible? Like, they blow one of the games to the bad team.
They lose to New Orleans.
Are a very good team who blew them out on their home floor like a couple months ago. And if they lose that game, they're probably the 10, assuming the Lakers have the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. If they win those two games and Warriors lose just one, Warriors are going to be the 10. And they're going to L.A., which, by the way, and I know Tim has been beating this drum for a while. You might rather play in LA. We got another example of it.
I think they might. I mean,
Think they might rather play without AD no matter where it is. Yeah, poke AD in the eye. They'll be fine.
Oh, Jesus. No.
Jesus. Mark Scaluli.
Two games he missed with eye situations. Two games.
Against the Warriors in LA. I think the formula was based on last night. If they lost last night, they were going to go, okay, it's cool. We can be 10. We're comfortable in LA. It's a short flight. Don't have to worry about it. There's no real gain in just, exhausting everybody trying to get nine. But by winning that game and putting eight into play, I think there's a value in getting eight because you only have to win one game. You don't have to win two games. And, maybe you draw Sacramento. Maybe you draw somebody you want to. It's just, there is value in eight. I think there was some thought that maybe this whole rush down the street, like, do you really need to push everybody? Because you know you're going to push them in the plane, right? No matter what, you're going to be pushing people. But they won last night, so they might as well try to keep winning. As you know, they have probably the easiest schedule of those group of teams. If you look at it, doesn't mean anything's guaranteed. But I think Phoenix has all three road games, right? It's just like there's a path here to 8. Doesn't mean they're going to get it, but there is a path. So see what happens the next two nights, and then maybe you rest the third one if it doesn't matter. But they got to go for it.
Tonight is, you might be able to cross Phoenix off the target list tonight because they are on the road against the Clippers on the back-to-back. But
I don't know. Phoenix looked great last night. You know, at home.
What was it? 35-4 or something? 35.
They were down by 37 at one point.
Well, yeah. No, but the big thing is no Kawhi, no Paul George, no, I think Hart. You know, like Clippers are resting like almost everybody tonight. So there is a chance, probably a good chance at this point, that
there's a good chance the NBA is going to find them too for this.
That's also possible. But we'll see. Like you said, you know, every day you know more, every day you know whether it's worth it to go for it or you know, kind of throttle back.
If you're, you know, a Warriors fan out there, who are you watching the closest later? Like what team are you following down the stretch?
Kings. Partly because the Kings have two monster head to head games that against the other teams over the next on Thursday, Friday in Sacramento. I'm gonna go to Kings Pelicans in Sacramento because in my opinion it's even a bigger game for the Warriors than the Warriors Blazers game in a lot of ways. And to me, they're the one, they just went 1-3 on a road trip. They no longer have Kevin Huerter or Malik Monk. They have become the target. It feels like we're having like a secondary version of the same conversations we had for a playoff series last year of like get 6 to get the Kings at 3. Everybody was saying that. Now it's like, can you find a way to match up with the Kings either in the 10-9 or leap the Kings, you know, and get over them. But they're playing the worst. Well, I don't know. It's tough to say that when the Suns put up the performance they did yesterday.
They're going to watch the loser of the game tomorrow. That's what they're going
to
be.
Yeah, watching. That's a fair way to put
that's
it.
Unless Phoenix starts circling the drain, then it's the loser of Pelicans Kings that the Warriors are looking at to try to jump them to get to 8. I think that's the fairest way to say. And again, the Suns are out there too, but I don't see them losing all three games. We'll see. And the Warriors have to win themselves, but I think the Pelicans are a better team than the Kings. But if they lose, that's the team that the Warriors can catch. So.
And the Warriors get the Pelicans, which is important here, with the tiebreaker on the
line. On a back-to-back. Right. Both teams on a back-to-back, but the Warriors are at home. Although, again, that was kind of offered to me recently. Like, kind of better on the road these days. I don't know if you – I think just as I've said, just out of the travel aspect, do you want to get these 36-year-old guys, put them on a plane, and then, you know, win, and then you put them on another plane. Like, if you just take one of that out of the equation, play at home, see what you are. If you can't win at home, then you don't deserve it. You're gonna have to win some home games, right? You have to play good at home at some point. So try to get that home game, and you just, you know, kind of decrease the wear and tear on Steph, with Draymond, Clay, everyone else, if they can do it. But maybe they won't get. Maybe it's 8, and they're on the road, but they win that one, and then they get 3 or 4 days off. That's the biggest benefit from getting 8. If you win that first game, well, there's 2, because if you lose, you get another shot at it, and it's at home. And if you win, you get a couple extra days off that you otherwise would not get from the 9-10 game.
Let me ask y'all. Let's say it's the last day of the regular season. You know you're not getting into 7 or 8 because, you know, the other teams won enough to eliminate you from 7 or 8, but you still have a chance for 9 over the Lakers. You know you're playing a Lakers 9-10 game, win and you might get home, you know, the home side of it, lose and you're on the road side of it. Do you prioritize rest and recovery and you know, kind of pull back your veterans and just go, look, you're fine with an LA game anyways, or do you like really go after that game?
Who's deciding this? Is it us or is it Joe Lacob? Because if it's Joe Lacob, we
monetarily.
Joe Lacob is like, hey, Steph, I need you to play 40 minutes tonight.
Against home guys.
The problem is they might win the game anyway, even if they rest people.
Well, I mean, and I'm not saying to not want the home game, but I'm saying, is going after the home game worth Steph 42 minutes?
But that's what I'm saying. You should be able to win that game without going hard, right? It's the Jazz in the final game of the season.
We literally just saw it. You know, they rested Steph and smoked them 3 days.
So it's almost like you could do it either way, and win by not going hard in that final game. Like you could kind of manage it.
They're not playing Steph 42 minutes in that game. They're not.
I mean, if they play Steph 30 minutes, they're going to win by a lot.
Yeah.
So
unless it's for the 8 seed. I can see playing Steph 25 minutes.
And the Jazz just look great. Your guy, Johnny Juzang, has just got 40 in the third.
Yeah,
I'm going to knock him out. I'm not Johnny Juzang. Then do it himself.
If Johnny Juzang hits five again in the first half, I might just wave a white flag and be like, we're going to L.A. What are we doing? Yeah, what are we doing?
I think the lean will be to get some sort of rest that game. I do think that's the lean. Although we don't know. I mean, what if Seven's in play? Like, Seven could be a play. Like some weird
thing. Yeah, they'll know by tip. That's the big thing.
Yeah. I don't think they want to. I think you're hearing it. They don't want to exhaust Steph just getting into this position. Because then what happens if he's exhausted and you're so what? And then you're dead anyway. So, again, you're gonna tire him out in the play-in, too? Like, you're just going to have to play him a lot of minutes in the elimination games. Should he rest
the 7-8 game? Draymond and Clay, too. That's the other problem. Like, it's Draymond and Clay, too, who need the rest, right? And those dudes are better fresh. And we're seeing, like, Draymond is looking pretty good. And part of it, you know, it's because he was playing 25 minutes for, like, a large stretch when he came back from suspension. So, like, fresh, their only chance is to be fresh. That's their chance, is to be fresh. And what's the point? Even if you somehow get 7 or 8, win that one game, or if you win 2 games and you're cooked against Denver, like, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, it matters for 2 home games, right? You get those two playoff, what's that, TK, about 10 million, 12 million now?
Seven apiece.
That's probably, it's higher now. They're going to really, Joe Lacob's going to make up for lost time with that.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Here's a question. Like, if you charge playoff rates for a play-in home game, I don't think you have to give a ton of it back to the league. I think it's just like another game. So those might be really good for Joe Lacob, but who knows? It's his money. Who cares? I just think they're going to monitor this. They're not going to go crazy. The payback isn't on the back end. You get hurt even more. Just play it sanely. Try to get as high as you can, but don't go crazy. And you're going to beat the Jazz anyway on Sunday, you know, and you're probably going to play these next two hard just to see where you're at. Like, I mean, do you see any way they're boasting on a back-to-back Slater? Like, they treat it like a regular back-to-back, or are they going to have to play it hard through those two
this
games?
Is the rest game. Portland will be the rest game, right?
Okay. Well, you might as well do the earlier one, right?
I think if they had lost last night, then yeah, Portland would have been the rest game. But now, like, you know, I think you script out your rotation to play 11 guys and it's a Steph 30-minute night and try to
blast away
from Portland and keep him in 25 because you don't have to play him in the fourth. And, you know, Chris Paul gets, you know, 28 minutes or, you know, maybe you don't want to go that high with him. But
or maybe you just say this is what they're playing no matter what. And if you lose with, you know, other guys playing more, you just do. Like,
yeah. I agree. It's kind of the strength of their team. We've talked about this all year, though, right? It's not like, oh, no, you know, one of their key rotation guys out. They have no depth behind them. It's like, oh, you know, Moses Moody's playing. He's perfectly capable. And, you know, more Kuminga minutes, more, you know, Trace Jackson Davis minutes. Like, the depth has never, it hasn't been the issue. It's been top level expected number two, number three guys. But that ain't changing in, you know, early April. That is more of a June question, I think.
Is the other scenario that I think favors them if they happen to lose one of these games, which would be very in line with the storyline of the season, is if still the Lakers jump to eight. Do you think it's better for them to go to Golden One Center and face the Kings than to go back to Staples, I'm sorry, Crypto for a third time? I almost called Golden One Arco, and then I called. Yeah, y'all know I'm from the early 2000s in this thing.
Yeah, you're stuck in a time warp there. Yeah. Well, we know what's better for Slater. We know that.
I mean, probably y'all like too, LA. Right? Y'all probably won't mind making a 90-minute drive.
No. Sacramento, I think they'd love Sacramento.
So the last two wins at crypto.com doesn't change the maybe like, hey man, let's get back to state. They shot
you
them
mentioned
all
it earlier. Tell me Anthony Davis's status, yeah, and I can tell you the answer to that question. Because if it's the Lakers they saw last night, they can't stop the Warriors, because you know they kind of can't stop anyone when Anthony Davis isn't there to protect them. So if there's no Davis, it's Lakers. But if there is a Davis, a Kings team who, again, like the Kings are redoing their rotation right now. They have two main guys who just went out for the season, basically.
And it's a bus ride, you know. It's like a almost like a home game. You know, you got a road crowd, but bus ride. You know, get back home at 2 a.m. It's almost like you played a home game. So that added to it. Also, I think they would like the Kings. We'll see. I think they're rooting for the Kings to lose, basically, TK.
Because the Pelicans go 1-2.
Well, the Pelicans would be tough for a lot of reasons. I think they're good. I think they got that athletic. We'll see about Ingram. I know he hasn't been healthy too much lately, but he's really tough on the Warriors. Zion, obviously. And you'd have to go to New Orleans. Like, that's a freaking long flight. And then have to zip somewhere else if you win. Like, I just don't think they want any part of that. So, try to keep it Kings or Lakers, I think, in their mind would be the way to do it. Just don't try to get on a flight and go fly. Unless they pass the Pelicans, that's a whole other thing. But again, we're talking to 17 different scenarios, and we can't keep track of all of them all in real time. But Kings or Lakers is what I would say is what they would want in any formulation of that.
How about Phoenix or Pelicans if you were the eight and you had to go to New Orleans to face a Pelicans team with less established star power, you would say, or quicker flight to Phoenix?
And potentially no Ingram. Yeah.
But you know, Ingram might come back. Ingram might even be back Friday.
I think Suns, just because they're older, like you can try to, you know, you match up with older teams. I think they do match up with older teams a little bit better, like the Lakers. And like the Pelicans have this young energy. Like, who knows when those guys are going to just go crazy on them. I think McCollum is tough to match up with. So I'd just say the two California teams are the ones that they match up best with. And then after that, the Suns, and it's a quicker flight.
You know what will also be interesting? This is the other thing to really watch this week. Who sits at 1-2? You know, because let's say they get an eight.
That'll be determined tonight too, right? That's a big deal tonight.
Yep. Let's say the Nuggets are two. You're not going to want to lose as the eight seed, because you don't want to then have to go back against the wall, lose and go home type elimination game. But I think if you had your choice and you'd rather play the Nuggets at two or somebody else as the eight against the one, you'd prefer to face, you know, we're really talking Minnesota at this point, probably. You'd rather play Minnesota, but it's like, you know, you're still going to want to have to win the 7-8. So that just aspect of this week is also going to be fascinating.
And it's going to be impossible to control, I think. It's like, you're just not going to know. You know, you're going to be like, we can get eight. Oh, wait a minute. We don't want to be 10. You know, it's just going to be hard to try to manage that. He's kind of like, do we need rest? Yes. Okay. Then we'll back it off a little bit, and then we'll see where we are at the end of it. What they don't want to do is go all out, go crazy, and still end up as the 10. That's what they don't want. Like, and you could see them do it, right? Oh my God, we're going to play everybody. And guess what? We didn't move up a single notch, and we are the 10, and we're got to get on a plan and go to LA. And again, that's as Slater has been saying for weeks now. That is the likeliest scenario. I'd say 9 now is more likely than 10, but it's probably 50-50, and that's not a big deal to win if you're exhausting your guys doing it.
So, you know, the top four seeds are pretty much set. Dallas is two back of the Clippers, so it's possible they could get to four. But if you're looking at Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City, the Clippers as the top four seeds, of the next four, whoever they may be, obviously there's six candidates, but who is the most dangerous to the top seeds? Like, who's are the Warriors the most dangerous team as far as, like, you don't want to see?
I think the Mavericks are playing the best basketball. If you're including the Mavericks, it's five.
Mavericks, years. Definitely. Yeah,
I think they're the easy answer, right? You know, they just beat the Warriors the other day without Luka. So I would pick them.
I mean, the Warriors didn't have Wiggins, so it's kind of even, right?
I mean, if you just are only judging on the 2022.
On the two, yeah.
There you go. Absolutely.
They're playing really good, but if you go beyond that, because I do think the Mavericks have separated themselves into their own. Like,
they are above, no question.
If you're just talking teams that are still the Warriors are technically fighting for seeding with right now, are they more dangerous than the Suns, Pelicans, Kings, and Lakers? I think Kings, you would say yes right now, considering injuries. Pelicans have been pretty bad lately. The Pelicans have been much better than the Warriors, you know, a month ago, but Ingram status, you probably say Warriors just considering pedigree. Lakers, I don't know what you're like. That to me is the big question, because like the same argument the Warriors have, the Lakers have, which is experience. Absolutely, you know, Davis, LeBron, all that.
Elite players. So if Davis is healthy, it feels like they're the most dangerous.
Bench does not look good. It does not look good.
You're not Jackson Hayes guy.
No, he was horrible last night. Just terrible. I guess Gabe Vincent could be better. He's just coming back. They were counting on it for that. He did not look good. It's like a whole lot of Cam Reddish. Rui, Cam Reddish. It's just like a whole lot of that.
Rui's good, though. I like Rui. Rui hurts the Warriors specifically.
Yeah, well, he also misses layups like the Warriors. So I don't love their – I like the Warriors – bench better than the Lakers. Like, the Warriors actually have a good bench. Slater mentioned that earlier. Like, they come off. Here comes Chris Paul, Jonathan Kuminga, and Gary Payton II. Like, they just got guys that you could just go, here we go. It's going to keep going. And when Paul is playing really well, which he was last night, it just changes who the Warriors are, because they're just more connected. They're more, they were better with Paul than they were with Curry for most of the game.
Plus 21.
Yeah, I mean, minutes. He just was solid. And then he played extra minutes with Curry. You could just see Kirk kind of ride that. That's something a lot of other teams don't have. Like, and the Warriors haven't had forever. And CP is not going to play great every game. He's had some flat games here and there, as any 38-year-old is going to. But I like that bench. Just if you're going to just play it out roster to roster. I mean, I did a column today just how much better they are on the roster this year than they were last year. Those are Ty Jerome minutes. Those are, minutes the guys are getting, Anthony Lamb and Jermichael Green. And like, it's amazing the turnover of this roster compared to what they've gotten. And it's younger and it's better. Not Chris Paul, but Pajemski and Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, these are major, Trayce is not a bench player right now, but he's, that second wave, that youthful wave. I don't know that a lot of other teams have that. I mean, New Orleans has some of it if they're not banged up. But, man, I know the Lakers don't, and the Kings don't. Kings bench is, because of the Monk injury mostly, but the Kings bench is. Like, there's some guys that I never heard of. Like, Slater's going to have to tell me these guys that I've never seen before.
We can rattle through them right now. We're playing preview right now.
I know.
Kobe Slater's Jones, ready to go. Recent draft pick.
Let's go, man. Kobe Jones.
Davion Mitchell, you might have heard of him. He was in the Warriors draft range.
Might have heard of him.
His minutes are going up. A three-time champ, twice with the Warriors. JaVale McGee is getting DMP still, so let's not even include him. Alex Lynn, who was like, remember when he was randomly kind of had
nice. Plus-minus. Alex Lamb plus minus. It was incredible. Yes, he still got run off the floor with like a plus 30 in the series.
Bench is Malik Monk, and Malik Monk is out. Yep. And that's their problem.
And Keon was better. Like, he was a good bench dude. Like, to me, he was better than Chris Duarte because he.
Yeah.
So it was. It's different when you put him in the role of like, yo, we kind of need you to be that. be like a Robin to De'Aaron Fox. That's a lot to ask, but in his role, I thought he was pretty good, which is why he gets the minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a much bigger part of their future than Chris.
Really Walker, trying
we're too deep into you know, Kings off season at this point.
Kings plus minus now. Kings plus,
you know, NorCal, maybe.
We'll have a play-in game to really go through, really dive into both teams.
We're talking about Sutter Health Park now. What are we going to go? Total Kings plus
minus. Yeah, the beef between the Bay and Sac that's brewing. To me, it's just when you got LeBron and AD playing their best, like that's two top 10 players in the league. That's tough to do. But I don't think anybody's playing better than the Warriors right now. And that's the part that's dangerous. And when you talk about the depth, I mean, since Trayce Jackson-Davis became a starter, like they're a different level. And it feels like they figured something out. And there's always a reason to be like, well, you know what I'm saying? Like last night, it's like, all right, you did have Anthony Davis. But
Draymond did go 5 of 5 from three.
Yeah, like they made like a ridiculous amount of threes. I didn't even realize that until you wrote it that it was like the highest percentage for that. Like that's
high
crazy.
Volume three. Yeah.
But they part of it is because they kind of have this sense that all right, this thing is clicking now. We figured some things out and it's working to a degree that I don't know. We haven't seen this sustained stretch like we have right now. They're in this period where more times than not, they're just playing good basketball. And I do think it's the depth. But I don't know. The Warriors are coming to town with a bit of a chip on their shoulder as the underdog with pretty much nothing to lose. And they've got 12 guys they could play, which gives them some versatility. Yeah, I feel like they might be the most dangerous just based on where they are in their season arc. Like you said, a month ago, New Orleans. I would have said New Orleans.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is they seem to be in the best mood of these teams. And we're not around the other teams intimately, but you can be clear, especially with like the Davis in and out stuff last night, Darvinham's season. Like the Lakers are a little bit shakier. The Kings, we've mentioned, just like the injury turmoil that's been created there. The Pelicans are in their own little like mini recent free fall. And then the Suns, you know. It does not seem like the vibes are great there. Whereas Marcus, you were in the tunnel last night. Tim, you were there the home game this week. Like this team's in a very good mood, good place, relaxed, chatting it up post game. It was like a party scene, like talking to luminaries in the tunnel last night in Staples. And like they could be eliminated next week, but you just don't get the sense it's like jittery around them.
Here's what I think too. You meant Clay and Wiggins. Like, they were the reason why this team stunk in the beginning of the season. They had to figure it out kind of around them in the middle of the season. Obviously, the Draymond stuff, no doubt. But they kind of had to figure it all out. And now they both look pretty comfortable. Like, they both look pretty good. Not superstars, but doing their stuff. Clay is like, he's shooting 53% this in 5 games, or how many games he's played this month. Like, he's been a solid mid-range three-point shooter. Just that's what he's doing. Wiggins is guarding people. He is. And it's just like they're not what they were 2 years ago. I'm not saying that, but just those two guys, it tells you how unstable it feels when those two guys aren't good. And put Looney in there and they had to replace him. But those three guys, and that was three-fifths of their starting lineup, was not playing well to start the season for a huge – how long was Steve go with them? I mean, he went with them like 50 games, right? I mean, it just wasn't good. And other guys weren't good either, and Draymond was getting suspended. We know all the other things. But if you lock down Clay's spot, Wiggins' spot, and the center spot, it's just amazing how much more stable things look like, because then you could put other things around them, and you're not panicking like, oh, my God, we're down – 14-4 to start every single game, which is what it was early in the season. I think it's really Clay and it's Wiggins, and they both feel good. They're both more relaxed. They know they're contributing, and you know, and Steph and Draymond and Kerr and everyone else doesn't have to worry about them, you know, as much. There are still going to be flat games from both of them, but not as much, not nearly as much. And I just think that has just been the explanation for the last few weeks.
The other thing is futures don't feel as on the line as maybe the outside would appear. Clearly Clay's is, but you know, Steph locked in. We know that Draymond's got 3 more years. Kerr finalized his extension.
Wiggins.
So there's some of that. And then
Kaminga's pretty much in, right? Like, even
I mean, although, you know, his current place is interesting now, moving back to the bench, played really well in his first game back, didn't play well last night, just how he kind of fits into this front court mix, but that's another conversation. Generally, yes, the mood is great. Marcus, I don't know what, like, what were your thoughts just last night, just being around them post game?
Yeah, that was the part that was interesting, right? Like, it's just weird seeing them in this space where they're like, y'all better not let us in. You know, you better not, you know, like, they're the underdog hunters. Like, you know, it's just talking to people about, like, what do you hope to happen? What's the scenario? And they've got it mapped out. Like, they've got a plan, you know, get to eight, you know, get to Oklahoma City or Minnesota. Then, you know, like, you could see them kind of playing that out in their minds, and they're kind of like excited about it. It's a little weird in a season that has been, like, to me at this point, based on where they are and what's, like, the meat that's left on the bone, like 10 to 15 losses that just should not have happened, right? Like, this team probably should be, you know, up there with the Dallas and the Clippers. If yeah, not
like
that, but
Steve,
not.
Steve, that's like all he wants to talk about half the time. It's just like, oh, what could have been, what could have been, what could have been. And he's right. I do wonder, though, do you guys, let's say they lose in the play-in, whatever, it's the first play-in game or the second play-in game, they're eliminated, they do not make the playoffs, which is at this point, what, 50% chance? How tortured do you think they'll be about this season? Or do you think it'll be an easy move on?
I think it's an easy move on. I think that's what it feels like. They've resigned to, like, this was kind of a fluky season, and
they found, like, a lot of youth too.
That's the difference.
They feel like they have the answers moving forward. They have some answers moving forward.
Yeah.
Like,
now they're going to get a year. The old guys are going to get a year older, right? I mean, you know that. But having Pajemski, TJD, Kuminga and Moody. We know they don't always play Moody, but those four guys makes a big difference when it's not Anthony Lamb, Ty Jerome, Jamichael Green, and whoever else. This makes a difference in the mood of a team. I think they feel that. And listen, Draymond got suspended twice. They went 11-10 in the games he missed. You know, you could just say that could have added four more wins. Hideki, I mean, obviously the tragic stuff they went through.
And then outright just blowing games
just
down.
Kicking away games. One of those games would make a huge difference. Just one, the one in Sacramento, which, I mean, it just is, just, you could just see that one sitting on the table and they give it away. But I don't think I don't think it's going to be a tortured, oh my God, we blew this. I don't think they think that. I think they think they got a better roster. Again, something I wrote.
They know it's not the end. They know it's not the end. Remember before, it was like, it felt like you're going to have to do this whole thing over. Like,
last year after the playoffs, and they knew they had to deal with Jordan. They knew they didn't know, they didn't know what they were going to have in Wiggins. This, like, there were a lot of, like, jittery things at the end of last season. But I think they kind of organized. They still got Chris Paul. They don't know what's going to happen there. They got Clay, but it's so many, you know, like, things have been answered in a pretty solid way. I threw this out in the columns going out tomorrow morning. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. See, could this be a little
Like
that?
You're wrong.
The end of 2021 when they go 15-5, they're screaming out. That was Steph going nuclear, and it was a different feel to it. But it just seems like they figured some things out at the end of that season, and they sure thought they did. And that led, and they made some good moves, right? Otto Porter.
That's the thing. That's the thing. They know what they need. I think they feel like they know what they need, right? And it's not like, how are you going to rejigger this entire thing because it's done? And now it's more like you're one or two good moves from being right with them. Because I do think, if you ask them honestly, like, you know, if you ask them, they'll give you the "we are what our record says" type stuff. But deep
Bill
down,
Parcells,
later, you know, deep down, they feel like they're as good as Minnesota, as good as Oklahoma City, as good as the Clippers. So I think in their minds, they're thinking, We're one or two players away from being right there again. And that's where it's like 21, I think.
I don't disagree, but I'd say two things. Denver's a different animal, and Denver's not going away, and Oklahoma City's getting better, all that. But the other thing is, okay, that's fine. What are they going to do financially this summer? Because if they're talking about slice, 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 how are you getting better?
Well, we had this conversation. You know what's going to happen?
No, we have.
We're going to do the same thing. Joe's going to spend another $450. Like he's just going to do it again. This is what he's going to do.
It's what they've tended to do. Here, okay, Mark, you mentioned Kuminga. You said he's going to get his thing. You think they're going to like almost max him out? I mean, what are they, they going to
be? I don't think it's going to be a max. Thing,
I think the pool thing may have tempered like the thirst for like having to get an extension done. Like I could see them just going into a final year without it done, right?
They should have done that with Poole, by the way. I don't 100% understand why they didn't do that. They were afraid that he was going to have a great year and somebody was going to offer him the max and they couldn't have matched it. But you still can match it, right? You still can match the contract.
Something else also happened right around that time. I think an event.
An
they were going to give him that contract anyway. But yeah
they were. They were. You're right.
Oh, yeah. So is Kuminga, would you give him that deal?
Especially Mike Dunleavy, I think he knows like Kuminga is not in the best position right now. Like they have all of the power, right? And Kuminga's got to decide, like, am I going to say, all right, I'll go test the market and I'm going to go get 20 a night for another team? Or do you just stay with the thing you built? And if you talk to Kuminga, especially since the Steve Kerr thing, like he's all into some like, yo, I love it here. I want to be here. So
I think how this season ends matters. I think how he is utilized in the playoffs matters. You know, if he's suddenly playing 18 minutes a night,
I don't think that's possible. I don't know how that's possible.
I don't know. It is possible.
He's not starting right now.
Yeah, he's not starting. If he gets in there and has a bad couple of plays, like he plays 8 minutes and a half. So it's kind of hard to get him to 18. If he plays great, then he plays 27 minutes
he's
in the
not
game.
Playing. Yeah, he's not.
He's got. Well, I think he's
I just
play,
mean
but
how
he's...
this season ends matters. And Kuminga's mood has been brightened since the Kerr thing, but the truth is Kuminga's mood has been brightened because he was playing 30-something minutes a night. If that is taken away, I believe the happiness gets taken away. Understandably, right? He's a 21-year-old who has shown a lot.
No question.
So,
but, and so you're if this season is like what we're saying, why would – like, Steve is in on this. Like, why would he only play him 20 minutes? Like, if this ain't about a championship now – why you know what I'm saying?
He didn't play him at all in the Lakers series.
Okay? That was last year when it was like, let's get a championship. Now you know
he's not getting DMPs.
Yeah, you're a 10 seed in the West.
He's not getting DMPs, but if you want to have a Kuminga extension conversation, I want to wait till day one of the offseason when I know how it ended, because I do think that matters.
Yeah, I'm just saying, would you right now, not knowing how it's going to end, would you say 4 for $123? Would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, especially in like this modern market. Like, I think I'll just say this: like, let's say he was a restricted free agent this summer, which he's not. It would be the summer after. He would get that.
Yeah, but he's not getting it. He's a year away from it. So
yeah. So maybe you wait, and that's where I think they're more willing to wait because of how the pool situation.
But if you're a Kuminga, that's what I'm saying, and you don't want to. Do you want to wait and ride this out, or do you just
you don't really have that much of a choice? I mean, you could
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he could just take the deal. Like, I mean, Jordan Poole didn't wait. He could have waited either. He could have waited too. He's like, nah, let's.
By the way, great choice by Jordan Poole and his agency.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If you're Kuminga, especially having watched that, do you just be like, hey, what do we have to do to get this done now, right? Like,
the way the Warriors
feel like they have the leverage. The Warriors have the leverage.
But the way the Warriors approached it last year is the way I think everyone does. Is like, if you don't do it, you're kind of giving the player the signal that he might go. Like, do you want to give him? And some teams are okay giving that signal, but I think that's the fear, is the player's going to be 1 foot out the door. And then instead of the, you know, mumbling about Kerr losing, you know, having lost faith in Kerr, he just blasts them public. Like, you know, that it just pushes somebody further down the road. Now, maybe not. Maybe you can live with it. But I think that's how, at least how Myers treated the pool situation. Like, if I don't do this, then he might pout, or he might be incredible. He might want out. Like it gets unstable at that point. Who knows if that's what they think about with Kuminga? Also, but you know, Kuminga's gonna want that money.
Also, part of their calculus at the time with Poole was he could then the next summer be more tradable in a big deal because he would have the big contract already signed. Yeah. And you can judge whether they got positive or non-positive value out of that.
They did it. They used it. They used it as a chip. Yeah,
They used it. They got Chris Paul, though, right? And we'll see. But
I mean, you sign Kuminga, you can, you know, if he's making $30 million a year in a year, we've all said it, he's probably going to get a big deal. You can probably trade him. So, I mean, it might be the same thing. I don't know. We've not seen Dunleavy go through the situation, so I'm not 100% sure. I think Myers would go, okay, let's give him 123, and let's see, you know, where we're at after that. But it's a question to be said. I was wondering, because I'm not 100% sure what I would do myself. So I was wondering what you guys thought. It is a, you know, that takes you into a whole nother financial strata, right? You have to figure out how to subtract from there. This is not, would not have to be right away, because the bigger numbers wouldn't come down for the couple years. But that's, you start talking about trying to get out of luxury tax. It would be a hard thing to do if you got all these players. And then Kuminga comes in at $26 million a year or more. So it's something to deal with. Slater wants to deal with the here and now anyway. We're talking about too many things that we don't know about.
Yeah, I feel like Kuminga did not play well against the Lakers, and he played 21 minutes. It was the fewest minutes he's played since, looks like, January 4th against Denver. I'm not – the actual fewest was that Boston game, but that had nothing to do with Kuminga. Everybody – like, everybody didn't play. But it's just hard to keep him off the court. Like, even in his bad games, he's going to get 20 minutes. I don't – it would be wild to think he – what happened in the previous playoffs happened again this postseason. Like
yeah, again, it's not going to happen in a DNP scenario.
Yeah, it won't be that, but it might be
– like, he just hasn't played less than 20 minutes. He hasn't played less than 25 minutes.
Just say this, like, to me, this season's DMP would be 22 minutes for him. Like, I don't think 22 minutes satisfies
I mean, I feel that, but it'll be because he's not playing well, right? If he's played 22 minutes, it's because he's not playing well.
Yeah, but there are always excuses. But if he's playing why not? He played 21 minutes last night. He went 2 of 8. He didn't play good. That feels like the low end.
Saying. So if he does that in a playoff series, that's more than what he's ever gotten.
Yeah,
but he doesn't go like, oh, thank you for the 18 minutes. Like,
it's no, I think he's like, man, I played 21 minutes. I didn't play that well, right? Like, I don't think he's like thinking he's playing well when he's not playing well. I do think he's thinking, if you give me a guaranteed 30, like, I'll play better, right? I think he looked at last night. If I had played 30, I would have turned it around. But that's like every young player's right to play.
Okay, but you know how playoff series go and how rotations shrink and minutes shrink.
If Gary Payton is playing really well, that's what makes it hard to put him back out there. Like, that's the thing. GP2 was playing really
and
well.
The other one is if Kerr is tempted at all to play Looney. You know, that's the third big. And sometimes he is tempted to play him. He didn't play him last night. I don't think he will be.
I think if Fisaki plays him, Looney.
I know. Every minute he plays Looney, that takes minutes away from either TJD or Jonathan Kuminga, because it's a three-man rotation there, and it's not coming from Draymond, probably. Although we'll see if Sabonis is lying on the ground in front of him and see what Draymond does in that instance. But I think that there are ways that Kuminga loses minutes, and it's like it's GP2 and it's Kevon Looney. Those are the two ways. But otherwise, yeah, I was kind of surprised that Kurt went with him in the fourth quarter again. He, you know, remember he went that stretch in the third quarter. He was like fouling everybody. It was always a three point play. But Kurt kept him in there, and then he made a tough bucket and he played some. He chased down on a fast break, I thought, really well, and contested the dribble. That's all Kurt wants to see. He wants to see that stuff. Like, everything else will come okay. He'll score. He'll get the free throw line. Just run back on defense. Just don't over rotate or screw up. And you're right. 21 minutes shouldn't be something that I'm surprised by. And I don't think I don't think it'll be an emergency. But you do a series of 21 and then a 16, and it's game 5, and it might be 14, and then I think we have another kind of discussion.
We good?
Kuminga.
We are
good. We're good.
Kuminga's going off in the play-in. I'm telling you this right now.
It's possible. That is the other end of the ledger is he averages 22 points in 38 minutes per game, and he goes in the offseason like max or nothing, you know.
Yep. And then and if you don't give it to me, trade me, right? I mean, that's where this could go. So I'm not saying it will. Who knows? But
man, we are sounding alarm bells late on this podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? I have a sense Mike Dunleavy will not be moved by that.
Yeah, okay. Possibly. I'm just saying that's how Myers approached these things. He did, like, you signal to your guy, if you don't do it when you can. You do signal something. And that's okay. You can live with it, and maybe it's even better for him because he might even get a bigger deal at the end of it. But you kind of like you don't want to get to the moment and go, you know what? Never mind. And then everybody's let down a little bit. But we'll see. Maybe Dunleavy's a little bit different.
All right. The next one, man, we will know more things.
Yes, we will
know more things.
Maybe Friday. Maybe Friday night after the Pelicans game if a bunch of stuff has gone down. We'll see.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be like 8 more new scenarios every day.
If not, by the way, we can definitely do one Sunday. It's a 12:30 tip. At home, and like the entire field,
we could do the pot that. During that game.
Well, that's awesome. Although, you know, it may depend on what's happening elsewhere in those games.
We're gonna be watching.
Are they all starting at the same time?
So the East games are like 10 a.m. Our time, and the West games are pretty much all 12:30.
Excellent. All right, no golf for me. That's all right. I'll be bouncing.
I think you could golf. It's worth
it. Hey, you might have plenty of time in April, May, and June.
Yeah, me and Steph will be golfing somewhere.
All right, we're out of here.